Good evening, brethren. As John said, the sixth reading this evening will be taken from Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I'll be reading verses 22 through 29. Ephesians 5, 22 through 29. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, to himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church.
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm always thankful for these opportunities that I have. I don't spend a whole lot of time on Facebook. One time someone asked me how I got so much done, and I said, well, I try to stay away from Facebook. Because you just scroll on forever. You get on there. Your intention is just to scroll through once, and before you know it, you've been on there way longer than you anticipated. But I was scrolling through Facebook, and I saw a friend from my past. And this friend from my past, I haven't called for a good long while, but I remembered a conversation this week that I had with this young girl when we were in college. And we sat down together, catching up. We actually went to the same high school. We were sitting down and we were having a conversation about the church, the Lord's church. And this conversation went on for quite a long time. In fact, it went on to the early hours of the morning. And I remember towards the end of the conversation, she turned to me and she looked me in the eyes and she said, Kyle, you really love the idea of the church. You know, I think back on that conversation, and I think back about, you know, all the mistakes I probably made in the conversation. You know, you analyze everything, look at everything that you said, maybe things you could have said differently. I think I did a decent job, but how I love the church. It's one of those ideas that, at a young age, as I was studying, it's one that I grabbed a hold on to very early and one that I have clung to ever since. The idea of the one church and how I love it so much. What I want to look at this evening is the three components that I really, truly love about the Lord's church. Of course, I could go on and on about all the aspects I love about the Lord's church, but why do I love the Lord's church and why do I pour everything I can into the Lord's church? Because I think there's this underlying push in our society. Maybe one that's not heard quite as much as some of the moral issues that are pushed by our society, but I think there's an underlying push in our society that the church is not important. The Lord's church is not important. The assembly of the saints is not important. And I think we can see this in the way that our society has moved in on the Lord's Day, moved in on such things in our society. I think if you turn back just a few years, it was like no one would touch Wednesday. Well, why wouldn't you touch Wednesday? Because that's when most groups of people would meet for Bible study. But that's not as important anymore. They moved in on Wednesday. Not only have they moved in on Wednesday, they moved on Sunday. And it's like this idea that the assembly of the saints, the assembly of Christians, the assembly of the Lord's church, there's this underlying push that says it's not that important. I truly love the church, and I believe that every Christian should have a love of the church. And as our society turns and it starts to shove back, I think that we need to look back and see why the church is so very important and why we should love it so dearly. The first reason I believe that we should love the church is because we love the head of the church, don't we? We love the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ. We love the head of the church, Jesus Christ. So often in the Bible is compared to the body. The church is the body is the church, and that illustration is used oftentimes that the church is the body of Christ. And who is the head but Christ? And Jesus loved the church, didn't he? He did everything that he could for the church. So one reason that I love the church so very much is I love the head. It's amazing to me how some people in our society are trying to rip those two apart and say, you know, the assembly of the saints, the church in general, of course, all the things that come with the idea of the church, they try to tear the church away from Jesus. They try to separate it from Jesus and say, we can have Jesus without the church. We can have Jesus without the church. And what a dangerous idea that is, because how could you separate the two ever? How much did Christ love the church? The head of the church, how much did he love the church? Well, I think we can see a little picture of that in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. How much did he love the church? He loved the church enough to purchase it with his own blood. And yet we have individuals that say, the church isn't important. The church isn't needed. The church isn't needed. It's not important. The assembly of the saints is important, that they can be separated. You can have Jesus without the church. You can have Jesus without the institution, the organization. You can have it without all that. You can separate the two. That's very hard for me when I read Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when it says he purchased the church with his own blood. What other things are purchased with blood? What other things have been purchased with such a high cost? And yet, how many times people try to discard something so precious out of the Christian faith? Jesus paid such a high price. He went through the suffering, the agony, the whips, the beating, the crown of thorns placed upon his head. Why? Because he knew that the church was important, and without the church, that saving vessel would not be there for those who needed it. I think we can see this in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Is why would he go through all of that? It's because he loved the church, he knew the importance of it, and he knew what the church would open up to individuals. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, who desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Without the church, there would be no option. There would not be that saving vessel which we can have. Where there would be no place for us to turn to, out of our place of sin, into a place where we can be cleansed of sin, where we can have the continual washing of our sins as we walk in the light. There would be no place if Jesus did not purchase it with his own blood. See, the problem is if people start to devalue the church, what you're really devaluing is Christ's blood. How could you do such a thing? Say the church isn't important, the church isn't needed, the church isn't as important as it once was, the church isn't... Well, is Jesus' blood important? Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. How could individuals say such a thing? If the blood of Christ matters, then the church must matter as well. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people have discussions with me, that's the underlying thought that they're really trying to push, is that the church is not important. The church is not needed. The church is something that's fading away. All we need is Jesus and nothing else. But if you start disregarding the church, if you start degrading the church, what you are doing in turn is degrading the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what's tied to the blood of Jesus Christ is his life. Jesus loved the church so much that he gave his life. We see that in Ephesians chapter 5, our reading, if you'll turn over there, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 29. Now I'm talking about wives and husbands and their relationship, but throughout it, there's this parallel of Jesus and the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 29, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. Wait, who's head of the church? Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. What did Christ do for the church? He gave his life, he gave his blood, he gave his all, so that your church could be purchased. It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes just as the Lord does the church. That ending right there. It says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes just as the Lord does the church. Jesus would never wrong the church in any way. He wants to look after it. He wants to cherish it. He wants to nourish it. He wants to make sure that it's okay. And yet people say, it's not. It doesn't matter. Just discard it. We don't need to meet together. We don't need to be together. The church is important. But yet here we see so many facts. Christ is the head of the church. How are you going to separate the body from the head? And yet that's what people try to do. I'll take the head, but I'm not going to take the body. That's what people try to do. How can we do such a thing? But this is an underlying current, I believe, in our society. Let's separate the two. Let's separate the head from the body today, and we'll be okay. And yet we see, when we look through this illustration, how crazy an idea that is, to separate the head from the body. But people say, I'll take Jesus, but I won't take the church. We see also that Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for it. He gave it all for the church of Christ. And at the end, we see that He truly nourishes and cherishes the church. See, what happens is that we realize that the church belongs to Christ and Christ only. The church belongs to Christ and Christ only. Christ is the sole owner of the church. And one of those things, we all have those little things that bother us a little bit. And I always, one thing that always gets under my skin is when people say, oh, you know, Kyle's church. When people say that, it just gets under my skin. I did not purchase the church with my blood. It was a price that I could never pay. It is not a Christ church. Who else would we give it to? And yet we see in our society, the denominational world, I think they give Jesus some of the biggest insults when they start putting the church with all these different names. And of course, Jesus is not going to claim any of those. How could you do such a thing and say, we're going to call it this, or call it this, and call it this? And yet Jesus is the one that purchased it. We want to name it after man. We want to name it after all kinds of things. We see all the terms that go up. And yet it's Christ the one that purchased the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 it says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. And yet people run away from the foundation. People try to name it all kinds of different things. In Matthew 16 and verse 18 it says, I will build my church. I will build my church. The church did not carry a denominational name. It just simply doesn't make sense. And I remember when I was having that conversation with that young lady, and we've known each other for a long time, I started explaining this idea. She's like, that makes a lot of sense. In fact, I heard a story one time where this individual was going to go preach at the Lord's church somewhere, and he stopped by, and it was a denomination, and he stopped by and he says, I'm looking for this place. And the individual kind of looked at him and squinted at him. He obviously had some notions about the Lord's church, and he says, oh, I think the Church of Christ is over there and to the right, and the guy starts pulling off, and then the denominational guy, he kind of, for some reason, he chases him down and said, well, actually, we're the Church of Christ, too, and we're the Church of Christ, and then he adds the denominational name. I mean, there's something intuitive that we can understand that Jesus purchased the church, and because He purchased the church, He should have the name. And yet we do this in every aspect of our lives, but all of a sudden, when it comes to religion, we try to run away from it. At least people in the denominational world do. If I purchase a vehicle, am I going to put Brent's name on it? Well, Brent's going to be happy if I put his name on it, maybe. But we don't do that. If you purchase something, it's yours. But yet we'll say, you know what, Jesus purchased it, but we're going to give it to this, or we're going to assign it to this, or we're going to do this with it. How could we do such a thing? It's an intuitive idea. I'd be happy, you know, in some degree, if individuals would just, you know, simply concede that point. Because I think it would get us closer to the Bible. People try to separate Jesus and the church, and it just isn't possible. The Bible teaches that the church is so very important, and certainly the head is important. People talk about the church so many times in a negative light. They say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to work at the church. They say all these things. But you can't separate the church in Christ. It just simply can't be done. One reason that I love the church so deeply is I love the head of the body. I love the purchaser of the church. I love Jesus Christ. And because of that, I love the church of Christ. Number two is I love the body of Christ. I love the body of the church. I love the members of the church. And I think we understand this idea that Jesus is our head and then we have the body, the church of Christ. And what's the body made up of? Christians. I love Christians. I love the body of Christ. I love those that make up the church of Christ, the assembly of God. I love those individuals. I love the members. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, it ties these two ideas together, the church and the body. It says, and he put all things under his feet, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we tie this picture together. The church is equivalent to the body. And that illustration is used throughout the Bible of this idea of the church being the body. And Jesus is the head and the body is the Christians that make up this group, the group of the saved. Of course, the building is not the church. And it's unfortunate that so many people associate church with the building. It's like the first thing that pops into people's heads. It's not the Christians, it's not the individuals. Many times, as I find, as I travel around, I talk to people in the denominational world, when they hear church, they think building. They don't think Christian. They don't think the body of Christ. They don't think the group of believers that have obeyed the truth. Many times, the church is not a building. The church is not a geographic location. The church is you and I, those who have obeyed the truth, those that have committed ourselves to the teachings of Christ. And the question is, do you love yourself? If you're a Christian, how can you say, I don't love the church, I don't want to be part of the church, I don't want to be involved, I don't want to do work in the church? You're basically saying you don't love yourself if you're a Christian. How can you say such a thing? I don't love myself. And of course that extends on to our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are around us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, it says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We're the group that Jesus has bought back, the saved, those who have obeyed the truth. If you're a member of the church, then you belong to Christ. Just as we understand this with the body, if the head is severed from the body's not going to do too much. But we understand that when the head is attached to the body, the head directs what the body does. Are we directed by Jesus Christ? Are we the members of the Church of Christ, directed in doing the things that God wants us to do, going about the things that God wants us to do in the world, and living the lives that He wants us to each and every day? See, that was a big idea for me when I first became a Christian, as I did not want to be part of a denomination. In fact, anytime someone accuses the Church of Christ being a denomination, that's another one of them that gets at me. When individuals say, Kyle's church, no, it's not my church, it's Christ's church. I didn't purchase the church. Another one that gets under my skin is when people will accuse the Lord's church of being a denomination. I never signed up to be part of a denomination. Never did I, when I became a Christian, sign up to be a denomination. I signed up to be a member of the group of the saved, the Lord's church. The group that Jesus died for. That's what I signed up for. I didn't sign up for anything else. So that's one thing that definitely gets under my skin, is this is what I signed up for. The Lord's church. The body of Christ. The group of the saved. The one that Jesus purchased. I wouldn't be part of a denomination. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, we kind of see the struggles with what I would say, you know, seeds of denominationalism. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12, it says, for it has been declared to me, concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Jesus, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? All this division, all these seeds of people trying to separate into these different groups, trying to follow these different men. I will follow Christ and Christ alone. But the question is will we follow Christ into the church? Because some people will say, I'll follow Christ, but I'm not going to get into the church. I'm not going to get involved in the church. I'm not going to be part of the church. Well, the church is the same. The church is a part of Christ. It's part of the body of Christ. How can you separate the two? And yet people will try to do this every day. They'll try to separate the two and say, I'll take Jesus without the church. You know, the church is the place of the saved. That's where I want to be. You know, when a storm comes, I want to be in a safe place. I don't want to be in the danger zone. I don't want to be in the danger area. You know, everywhere outside the Lord's church, everywhere outside the body of Christ is danger. Inside the body of Christ is where there's safety. It's where we can be cleansed from our sins. It's where all the spiritual blessings are. And yet people are trying to find it all different types of places, but they won't go to the body of Christ. They won't go to the church of Christ. They won't go to the place of the saved. I want to be in a place of safety when that time comes. I want to be around individuals that are committed to change. Those individuals that are committed to Jesus Christ and a life of living for Him. Then how can you say that you love the church but not love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue." That's the love that we should have for one another as members of the Lord's church. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." How can you say that you love the church if you don't love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Sometimes individuals will say, "Give me Christ, but not the church." Sometimes people say, "I don't need the church." Some people say, "I can be saved without the church." And some people say, "I don't want the church because of all the people that are involved with it." It's unfortunate, because without loving the church, we're going to find ourselves in a bad spot. See, because the church is a special place where we have a special bond, where we come together because of our similar beliefs and our belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and trying to serve Him to the best of our ability. This group that cares for one another. This group that looks after one another. This group that's striving for heaven together. This special bond that we have that can go with us throughout our lives. See, I love the church because I love the body of Christ and the members that make it up. Thirdly, if I love the functionality of the church. Well, what do I mean by that? I love what the church does. I love that it does exactly what it was designed to do. I love the functionality. I love the benefits of the church. Exactly what God wanted it to do. Exactly what Jesus died for it to do. He died so that we could have the church. If we are members, we are blessed and we have privileges. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." If you are a member of the Lord's church, you are a partaker of the spiritual blessings in Christ, in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ. There's so many blessings for the Lord's church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, it says, "Then comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power." What is He delivering at the end? He's delivering the church. See, the church has power. The church has power to overcome Satan. It has power to overcome hell. The church has power to overcome sin. Not because we are great, but because what God has purchased and what God has put with the church and its functionality helps it to overcome Satan, helps it to overcome hell, helps it to overcome sin. In fact, He talks about this. He talks about the functionality of the church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, He says, "And also I say to you that you are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." What's not prevailing against it? The church. It says, "My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against what?" It will not prevail against the church. There's so many blessings of being in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." What can conquer and defeat the church of Christ? What can conquer and defeat the church of Christ? See, I love the church of Christ because I love the church that He's purchased because of its functionality. Because of the benefits that are associated with it that He designed it for. Can the church be conquered? Can the church be defeated? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because Lord Jesus Christ died. He died for our sins. We have the church. We can move forward with confidence. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added the church daily, those who were being saved." Wait, who is being added to the church? It says, those who were being saved. Where are the saved? The church is the group of the saved. And how many times people miss out on that? They say, "I don't want the church." Well, the church is the group of the saved. Why would you want to separate yourself from those individuals? Why would you want to separate what God has given us in terms of the church? Why would you separate yourself from the group of the saved? If we are faithful and we stay faithful to death, the church's destination is heaven. Those who have been added to that group. It's amazing in the denominational world, all the misconceptions about the church, how the church is made into a physical thing and not a spiritual thing. It seems like when you have a conversation sometimes with individuals that are not members of the Lord's church, the church is perceived as a physical thing. It's perceived as a building. It's perceived as so many things that really, I don't think that the Bible is really teaching and getting at. The spiritual blessings because of the church and the spiritual entity of the church is such a great thing. And it is here. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, "And he said to them, Assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." He's saying before you die, before you pass from this earth, the kingdom of God is going to come, the church is going to come, and it's going to be present with power. And then the question is, are some of these individuals still alive? Because he's saying it's going to come before you die. And we do see it come. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it kind of talks about this idea. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." The kingdom has come. The church has come. It is here. "And He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love." It did come. And yet many people will try to deny it. And many people, when they go throughout their lives, will say all kinds of things about the church. And it hurts me. Because when I look at the church, I love it so much. I love the church because of the head. I love the church because of the body. I love the church because of its functionality, how God designed it, and all the intricacies of it, all the things that He put out in the Bible to instruct us, the Lord's people, the church, how to live our lives. The functionality of the church. The way that we can bond together, stick together, help each other, accomplish God's work together. All because Jesus died on that hill far away. I certainly love the church. I love the head, Jesus Christ. I love the body. I love the members. And I certainly love the functionality and all the things that Jesus tied in with the church. And it amazes me when I talk to individuals how it seems like there's this underlying tone that they're against the church. How can you separate the head from the body? How can you say you love the church but not love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? How can you say that you don't want the church when we see all the functionality that God has laid out in respect to the church? I love the church. And certainly that's the church, the Lord's church, the church of the Bible, the church that Jesus died for, that He purchased for His own blood, that we would love you to be added to this evening. Added to. Not join. Added to. That's what the Bible says. Added to. Will you be added to the Lord's church this evening? The group of the saved, where Jesus has had the body is the Christians and the functionality of the church that lets us have a chance to be with God one day. Maybe you need to become a New Testament Christian. You need to be added to the church this evening. We would love to help you in any way that we can. Perhaps you're a member of the church and you've went off astray. You've done things contrary to what God would want you to do, and you want to come back. You need the prayers of the church. You need our help in any way. We would love to help you any way we can. If you'll please come as we stand and sing.